with this quarterback? Does your offense put up the third most points in the league, like San Francisco did last year? And I also really like that he has a playmaking element to him. And I think we saw that last year when the Vikings played against Brock Purdy, that it's not just, oh, well, he throws to Kyle Shanahan's wide open receivers. Well, you know, we got a quarterback here who played for Kyle Shanahan, Nick Mullins, and all respect to him for having an NFL career, but he didn't win very many games with the 49ers. So I don't think you could just draft any guy at the last pick and throw him out there. I think that he's special, that he sees the field unbelievably well for a guy his size. And then when things break down, you have to pay attention to him. You saw that in the NFC Championship. So I don't worry too much about how somebody for whatever website ranks quarterbacks. I just look at when the team I cover is going to play another team, how worried are you about the quarterback putting up a ton of points? And I would say very, very worried about Brock Purdy putting up a lot of points.
Wow. Matthew Collar here on the River Islanders Guest Line. I cover the Vikings for PurpleInsider.com. Love some Brock Purdy here. And I think a lot of fans are starting to warm up to Brock Purdy and are excited to see him play without Christian McCaffrey, who it doesn't sound like will go. Quick update on Jordan Addison, Matthew. And then who's a guy in the Vikings? Two-part question for you. Jordan Addison, will he be available because he destroyed the Niners last Monday Night Football without Justin Jefferson? Of course, the cover zero blitz right before halftime to score that touchdown. And two, who's a guy in the Vikings that Niner fans should be paying attention to that nobody knows about?
Yeah, so Jordan Addison, it doesn't seem great, just the way that Kevin O'Connell's talked about it. O'Connell is usually leaning toward optimistic when it comes to injuries, but even he didn't try to spin it too much yesterday. He missed practice. We'll see what happens today as far as practice goes. But, I mean, if it's a high ankle sprain, that usually takes a couple of weeks to get back. And Addison has kind of had issues with his ankles recently. I don't expect him to play at this moment, but, you know, things can change as we go forward. And I know that would be a sigh of relief for 49ers fans because he is that good. Jordan Addison is a tremendous wide receiver. So that would be a big blow. And next man up is definitely somebody you'd have to be in a 30-team fantasy league to know about, Jalen Naylor, I think, because he's a guy that had maybe 9 catches going into this year previously, but he's struggled with health. When he's healthy, he can play. He scored a touchdown last week. He's more of a deep threat wide receiver, but plays in a similar type of fashion as a shifty type of route runner who can make contested catches. The team has been really high on him for a couple of years now, but he's just run into these health issues. So now that he's finally healthy, that's somebody that they should pay attention to. And the other guy I think is Ty Chandler, who wasn't a huge part of the game plan last week because Aaron Jones was so good. But Chandler is a guy that runs 4-3. He's a pretty big guy and has some real jolt to him. They like to throw little screen passes, swing passes, and he can kind of make something out of nothing. So I think they're going to need contributions from pretty much everywhere if Addison is out, because they also don't have T.J. Hockenson either. So they're a little bit shorthanded here, even though, of course, Justin Jefferson is always going to be Justin Jefferson.
Wow, I can't wait for this game. 10 a.m. U.S. Bank Stadium is going to be rocking and rolling. Who's going to blow the horn? Who's blowing that big Viking horn? Who's doing that this week? Do you know in the inside on that?
I don't. They don't tell anybody until the last minute, until the guy walks up to the horn, so I have not heard.
Maybe it's John Randall with eye black on. Who knows? Matthew, really good stuff, man. We appreciate the knowledge and the expertise on the Minnesota Vikings. Continue the great work, brother.
Yeah, thanks for bringing me on.
Anytime. Matthew Collar here at the River Islands Guest Line, covering the Vikings for PurpleInsider.com as we go behind enemy lines. Jordan Addison may not play. So if he doesn't play, Shasky, do you just double Justin Jefferson all game long? Make somebody else beat you? Sounds easy, right?
Well, I mean, ideally, who's guarding him exclusively? Are you throwing different bodies at him? Are you mixing it up? Are you, you know, like, I don't know what you would want to do. You press a guy like that, and you're like, oh, he's smaller, but he gets off those presses because he is strong.
Yep.
And he's so quick with the quick jukes and the cuts. You do set yourself up for a lot of, you know, just easy releases right off the line. I think you have to throw a variety of things at him. He is like a basketball player that you don't want one guy guarding. You almost want four or five different guys guarding so that he never gets comfortable.
Yeah, I want him bracketed. I want him doubled, jammed at the line. That if he does get off the jam, and if he gets you off the jam, then it's night-night. But I need somebody over the top on him because he has speed. He can hit deep routes, deep posts. We saw the play action pass last week against the New York Giants where he goes, what, 44 yards or whatnot with Sam Darnold. So that's the thing that I keep coming back to when it comes to Sam Darnold. Heat him up. Heat him up. How's he going to react to getting heated up all day long? And it's another game where we look at the front four, Nick Bosa, because these tackles aren't good. Their tackles are really, really good. And the fact that the Niners last year, they didn't register a single sack on Kirk Cousins. He threw the ball 45 times, Shasky. They didn't register one sack. He had a clean pocket. He was throwing dimes without Justin Jefferson. Remember, he didn't play that game last season on Monday Night Football. So he ended up saving Darnold because this is a pretty damn good offensive line. And Aaron Jones is sneaky good. Aaron Jones is having a game in that playoff game against the 49ers. Having a game.
Yeah, I was a little more worried about Kirk Cousins than I am currently about Sam Darnold. Maybe I'm too confident and I'm, you know, I don't want to downplay any opponents. The NFL, anyone could beat anyone. You know, ask the New England Patriots and the Cincinnati Bengals. I think it's a very simple game. It's a Pete Venkman game. You're making this guy see ghosts. I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
Seeing ghosts.
You know? Like, get Slimer out there. Let's do this. Do you know who Peter Venkman is?
No. Is it a Ghostbusters reference?
You don't know Pete Venkman?
That was Bill Murray's character in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Ghostbusters. Yeah, I said Ghostbusters.
Yeah, he knew Slimer.
Yeah, I said it's a Ghostbusters reference. And it's Slimer.
Who's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in this case?
Malik Collins.
There you go.
Malik Collins.
A little tougher than that, though. He had no marshmallow.
There's a moment in the
it's like a monster marshmallow.
There's a moment in the first movie where they get their first ever call, okay? And they've never used the equipment. And they go down the hall and they're going to split themselves up. And Dan Aykroyd's smoking a cigarette. And he's walking down the hotel lobby hall or whatever up in one of the rooms. And he sees Slimer eating all the food. And Slimer's throwing all the food into him. And the cigarette is just hanging off of his lip. And boom! Here comes Slimer, and he ends up getting himself slimed.
As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and AC1 San Francisco, not as a sports station, always live on the Free Odyssey app. That was a great booking, Lubbin. Did I get Lubbin? Do the legal when you can. 2 minutes till break. 2 minutes till break. Do the legal when you can. 2 minutes till break. 2 minutes to break.
Sounds like some good producing right there.
What are you in the cockpit or something, man? Copy that, sir.
He does have an Egon-like quality to him in the morning. It's like the scientist guy. Well, they're all scientists, but he's like the most scientist.
He's the most scientist-y of the scientists.
Yeah. I guess we all could be the Ghostbusters, right?
We're going to break at 7:12. You know, we got 2 minutes to break. 7:12 break. Make sure you're on time. We got a shorter break here. Not a lot of commercials. All right, break at 7:13. Wait, audible 7:11.
It's actually 7:12 this time.
I know. Love it. I know.
Are you excited? Are you excited to see Sam Darnold?
Yeah, hold on. You really, I don't like it when you're this confident.
Why?
It worries me a little bit when you're this confident because it's not like you.
I
need you to be worried.
I watched Sam Darnold and I was worried. Watch Sam Darnold.
I need you worried, Shasky.
Play against Carson Wentz in Week 18
Nobody
last.
Nobody was playing today. You can't base everything off that game.
He had an opportunity to win that game in the fourth quarter. I know no one watched but me. In the fourth quarter.
We all watched.
He had an opportunity to do anything, and he could do nothing. He looked completely overwhelmed. I'm out on the whole Darnold experience.
You can do that
against the New York Giants. You ain't doing that against us. There's a time and a place to be cocky and arrogant, and to me, it's right now against Sam Darnold.
Before we break, we have a minute to squeeze this in. Here's Greg Cosell, what he saw from Darnold.
Kevin O'Connell, obviously coming from the Shanahan and McVay tree, you saw Darnold with really clean footwork, really understanding the connection between his drop and the route concepts. You saw some really well-schemed, well-designed play concepts that really presented him with clean, defined reads so that he could hit his back foot, and if it required him just to hit his back foot and deliver, he'd do that. If it required a hitch, he did that really cleanly. He looked extremely comfortable. Now, it's one game. No one's going to to sit here after one game and say, man, this guy's on his way to a great year. But if we're talking this same way after six or seven games, then to me, you really have to talk about the coaching element. Because don't forget, he was coached last year, we know, with the Niners, even though he didn't play, and now he's with Kevin O'Connell, who's really, really good. So sometimes that's the difference, because you're dealing with a kid, and you know this, big kid, physical kid, throws the ball well. There's nothing from a physical trait standpoint that he can't do. He always had other issues, including mechanical and including what he was seeing, but he looked very comfortable this past week.
All right, I want to pick that up on the other side as we break here. Sam Darnold. Anybody fear Sam Darnold this Sunday? 888-957-9570. Niner fans, how do you feel about going up against Sam Darnold and the Vikings this Sunday as we now turn the page on the New York Jets? Niners are 1-0, taking out the 1-0 Minnesota Vikings in their home opener. Shasky's confident. Is he right to be so confident against Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings? We'll pick this up on the other side, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
And you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
Of course, that was a classic between the Vikings and the Niners back in 1988. That was a great game, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Steve Young and the Niners beat the Vikings 24-21, that iconic run. And obviously we can't play the Lon Simmons call due to rights issues, because we know about Lon Simmons. But that 49-yard touchdown run and a call by Lon was iconic.
Did the rights.
You can do it on your own.
Get away! Get away!
19 carries, 56 yards for Roger Craig, with 7 for 72 for Young. Also threw for 232. What a fun game that was. I remember that game as a kid. Back and forth, back and forth. Anthony Carter was special.
Against?
Special.
Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Wade Wilson.
Oh, Wade Wilson. Yeah, that's right. You call him Deadpool?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but that's... Yeah, I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it.
I did
two interceptions that
but,
day.
But, you know, when I think of Wade Wilson, I think of Deadpool.
I don't even know how long that character's been out. Wade Wilson, the player, was probably way before that,
100%.
Right?
Yeah. He was a Raider, too. Rest in peace to Wade Wilson, I believe. I believe he passed away.
Okay. I'll take your word on that one.
Yeah, no. You don't know about Wade Wilson?
I didn't know he had passed away. No, I
think. Yeah, no. Wade Wilson, he passed away February. Wow. How about this? This is crazy. He was born February 1st, 1959.
Okay.
He died on his birthday in 2019. Wow. 60 years old.
It's way too young.
Way too young. That's to say he died on his born and died on the same day. Crazy. He played a long time in the league, though. 17 years. Wow. 17 years, Wade Wilson. One Pro Bowl, one-time Super Bowl champ, backing up the Dallas Cowboys and Troy Aikman.
Speaking of quarterbacks, let's get back into Brock Purdy.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say this, Shasky, real quick. When I think of Minnesota and the Niners.
Yeah, what do you think of?
I think of Joe Shasky. Jimmy just doesn't see it. I'm like, you Nimrod, we're going to the NFC Championship game.
Talk about takes that aged well. I mean, there's a lot that didn't age well. That one did. Like fine wine.
Jimmy's not seeing it. Like, it's his first postseason game. Relax.
That might have been one of his better ones.
Nah, it was fine.
What was Jimmy's best playoff game? The Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl may have been his best game.
At one point, he was 20 of 23 or 21 of 24.
17 of 20 or something like
was
that.
Okay, well, that was, yeah. For that like 175 you know yards.
All jokes aside, that was his best postseason game.
Till the fourth quarter.
I mean, Minnesota. But see, that Minnesota game, I was so ticked off at you. Because I was thinking, you guys didn't listen to me all week. That was going to be a struggle game. Minnesota had a good defense, and Mike Zimmer, he was a good coach. That was a good defense.
I watched in real time as the coach looked over with disdain after slinging the ball up and down the field up in the link in Seattle just 2 weeks prior.
I know, he was slinging.
I looked over at Shanahan, and Shanahan was like, we are not throwing the ball the rest of this game.
He ran it 12 straight times.
Yeah, and that was the moment right then and there where I felt like he'll never look at Jimmy ever the same. Kendricks jumped in front of that route and just was sitting there waiting, and Jimmy didn't see him, and Kyle's head exploded. And I'm not mad at him because I kind of felt him.
Hey, on the opening drive, he did throw a touchdown pass to Kendrick Bourne, or was it Emmanuel Sanders?
I forgot.
Remember that he went like 5 or 6 on the opening drive of that game?
I just remember they targeted what's-his-face down the sideline, and Stephon Diggs made a great catch and ran it all the way in. I was like, oh, boy, here we go.
Oh, it was Kelly Witherspoon. They benched him right away.
Yeah.
Benched him right away.
And we also watched Kirk Cousins tap out in that game.
Well, Dalvin Cook tapped out, too. Dalvin Cook tapped out as well.
I live for the Bonte Hill. So-and-so on Team X wants no part of the smoke.
And some games just get too physical for certain people. Like Sauce Gardner, the game got too physical for him. You can tell when somebody's just like, yeah, I don't want no parts of this. They're hitting too hard. Like, you can see it.
Uh-huh.
You can see it. You can feel it. And you're like, yeah, it's going to be a long day for this guy. By the way, it is true, 650, Xfinity Mobile text line, that the Niners have not won in Minnesota. Wow, they have not won in Minnesota since 1992. Lost in 94, 21-14. That was the last week of the season. Niners didn't play anybody. They were on a roll. That game meant nothing. They lost in Minnesota in 1999, 40-16. They lost in 03, 35-7 in Minnesota. In 09, they lost 27-24 of the Brett Favre game.
Lewis.
Craig Lewis, back in the end zone.
I call that the Glenn Coffey game.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he had like, what, 25 carries for 50 yards or something like
he
that?
He was horrible.
Sean Hill was good that game. I contend, though, Singletary got conservative. Final two drives. They went three and out. They got conservative. They should have threw the ball.
It's one of the greatest Brett Favre moments ever.
I know. Singletary got conservative. I hate him. He got conservative. Percy Harvin in that game. Wow.
That was the loss that broke so many Niner fans.
Oh, yeah. It broke
that
us all.
That particular loss.
It broke us all.
That 10 a.m. start.
Yeah, it broke us all.
Still in my pajamas.
Broke us all. The next year, they lost 35-7. Of course, they lost 24-13. That's when Sam Ponder, in a 10 a.m. start against the 49ers, just dominated Jim Harbaugh and company. That was a nasty game.
Christian Ponder.
Sam Ponder's
spouse.
Oh, yes. His spouse, excuse me, my bad. Sam Ponder. Ponder. Whatever.
Clean it up, Ante.
Ponder.
I mean, seriously.
Ponder beat us. That's why.
Passing that?
Yeah, how did Ponder lose it to that guy?
It is weird that they haven't won in Minnesota for 30 years. It is weird.
Last year they lost 22-17. 2018 they lost 24-16. You said something in my ear 2 minutes ago while I was talking. I have no idea what you said because you said it so quick.
Oh, no, you were asking who got the touchdown pass in that Viking game in the playoffs. It was Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, you know
if it was Kendrick Bourne or someone else. I was just clarifying for you.
He was also your 2019 leading receiver in the playoffs.
Yes, he was. Kendrick Bourne.
Look, every week I come in here and I'm worried about this guy and that guy and this team and that
worried.
Team and my own team
you're
injuries. Too. And you know what? Every now and then I try to throw you a changeup and I feel very confident against Minnesota. I think this is a good spot for the Niners. Short week. I think they're focused. No Christian McCaffrey. They know Sam Darnold. Like, and you've told me for 3 years Shanahan's the DC. If you don't think Shanahan knows the limitations of Sam Darnold, you're kidding yourself. They have great weaponry. Aaron Jones is a stud. Now they're missing their tight end. They're missing their other receiver. I fear Justin Jefferson, but I think they can bottle this man up today.
Man, I'm looking at the spread right now. It opened at 6. Niners favor by 6. Some books is down to 5.5, which means there's some sharp action on the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I'd tease that up to double digits.
So, tease it in favor of Minnesota?
No, the
Niners.
Yeah, what do you
So when you tease it with the Niners, let me school you real quick on some gambling. So
yeah, I don't know what I just it, said. I don't
yeah,
even
you,
know what
that
means.
Something, yeah,
I just
that's
said
all
it.
I just know, said I can it. Tell. So you would tease it. If you tease the Niners, you would tease them down. And you basically make it a pick-em
so
game.
So what's the reverse of teasing?
Well, then you'd be giving Minnesota like 12 points. You don't want to give them 12 points.
I think they're going to win by double digits. The Niners.
So you would tease it up anyway.
Yeah.
That would be a dub bet, but you know, you tease it the other way so you get better value.
It ain't nothing you can
so
do
if
about.
You're so confident the Niners win it by double digits, you tease it down and you take it from six to make it a pickup to where the Niners just got to win the game. No point spread.
I'm so fired up for this one.
You're confident.
I'm so fired up.
I'm a little concerned. 888-957-9570. Niner fans, wake up, man. Wake up. Are you that confident like Joe Shasky against the Minnesota Vikings? Is it because of Brock? There's no Christian McCaffrey. He's not going to play. Actually, let's hear from McCaffrey. McCaffrey, can you play on turf?
Yeah, if you can't run on turf, you can't run on the field. You can't run on grass, can't run on turf. If you can go, you can go.
All right.
Clean it up, Ante.
Why do I have to clean it up?
He was stunned. You looked at the computer and you were like, I guess that's all there is there.
Yeah, if you can't run on turf, you can't run on the field. You can't run on grass, can't run on turf. If you can go, you can go.
Yeah, well, oh damn. God. Everybody's so short.
Save that sound. If you can go, you can go.
You can go. All right, Christian.
Bonte, this comes down to one guy. His name's Kyle Shanahan. We're a well-oiled machine. And the synergy between him and Purdy. Do we really think that Brandon Ayuk could play any worse of a game? He had one ball that got batted out of his hands on a little, like...
sauce.
Yeah, that was a nice play by the defender. Right. There's no doubt. You tip your cap there. He dropped the ball, and clearly he's... The fan base is seething over it.
Well, listen to Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk. Monday Night Football. Did you watch the film?
I think after the game, I didn't watch the film until this morning. I was a little bit scared to watch it, but not as bad as I thought.
You were scared to watch it?
I was scared to watch it.
Like, did it just not feel right at the time?
Look, I love our fan base, and when Jordan Mason pops, you know, they're like, oh my God, new star, let's go, Jordan Mason. There's another side to the fan base at times where it's like, I mean, you held out for weeks, and you got $30 million, you got to catch that ridiculous acrobatic catch in the end zone. Like, we all agree, like, catch the ball, right? For sure. It was a tough play.
I saw Jerry Rice's reaction to that. He was just like, gotta catch that ball.
Well, Jerry,
it's Jerry.
The greatest.
It's Jerry, right? It's
just Jerry. What are we doing?
He said Jordan Madison, and we were not going to curry. He was just fine. I was like, hey, man. If he's Jordan Madison to you, he's Jordan Madison to me, then.
You said this for weeks, and I should have listened to you. You were like, one drop, and the fan base will be all over him. It was one end zone drop,
dude.
And it was a diving catch, and people are losing it.
You know, I get the meme. I shouldn't even joke like
What's
this.
What's that?
But I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going to get canceled today. But basically, people have their pitchforks out for Brandon Ayuk for whenever he drops a pass. Same thing last year with Bosa. It was like, hey, Nick Bosa, you hold out? That's cool. You got your $34 million. You got your $120 million guaranteed. Yeah. That's okay. But as soon as you don't get to the quarterback, we're going to be right here criticizing every one of your moves, every excuse. So with Brandon Ayuk, everything's going to... Somebody grabbed me yesterday at Olympic Club. He's at the back table. Forget his name, but he's a roaster. I forget his name. Maybe he said he was going to call today.
Okay.
He goes, Ponte, you couldn't just leave $3 million on the table? You had to take all the money? And then you drop that pass? Like, he had a scowl. He had a scowl to ask him about Brandon Ayuk. So, yes, I understand his fan base is nuts. Nuts. So, Brandon Ayuk, he's scared to watch the film. No, now the fan base is going to put the film on Twitter and every other outlet and say, look at the film. Ayuk, if you would have came to camp. They listened to Peyton Manning. He was like, Peyton, you're right. He should have been in camp.
Well, this Peyton, Peyton spoke like a quarterback who's had a guy drop a ball in the end zone that he thought should have been a touchdown. I actually enjoyed Peyton's perspective on it, but the fact everyone's like, Peyton.
Oh,
like,
yes.
They are riding with Peyton Manning on this one.
All right.
Do we have that sound Peyton Manning talking about?
We'll get that.
Let's see.
But let's hear from Greg Cosell, Willard or Dibs. On Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
Here's what Greg Cosell thought about Brandon Ayuk.
I think he's played enough games in the National Football League that we know what he is. I mean, obviously he had that touchdown drop, which I'm sure he'd make that catch 9 out of 10 times. I think there was another one where he, I think it was a quick slant that went off his hands. You know, it's probably a rust issue. No matter what you do and what you do in the off season, if you're not in camp and you're not going through the whole process, it's different when you get into a real game. I mean, I don't think there's any reason to be worried about Brandon Ayuk. He's played a lot of games games in the league. He's been a good receiver. We talked about him last week. He's not all of a sudden going to be a bad receiver. You know, he had a bad drop. He dropped a touchdown. It was very visible. It's a national TV game. You know, so it happens.
It happens.
That's exactly how
I felt. Thank you, Greg.
It's exactly how I felt. So, I mean, and then I've seen people post the drop from the Seattle game where there was the ball.
Oh, the sideline one.
And they're like, this man keeps dropping Purdy passes on purpose.
Well, how about this one? He dropped Trey Lance's first pass in that preseason game when Trey Lance rolled out of the pocket and scrambled. And Trey Lance threw a dime. We're like, oh, Brandon Ayuk dropped it. He drops a spectacular plays. You don't think he
You know what I know is that on third down in the playoffs against the Green Bay Packers, as the rain is coming down and the Niners were desperately trying to extend the game and move the sticks and put themselves in a position for a field goal, Purdy threw a pass where a defender is on the back and hip of Brandon Ayuk, and it was a perfectly thrown pass, and he was diving, okay, over wherever the first down marker would be, and he caught it with the entire season on the line. Wow. So I know that Brandon Ayuk has that in him, and he's going to do it. Yeah, he's got to catch the ball. I get it. But, like, everyone needs to just take a deep breath.
707, Xfinity Mobile text line. I would expect me to catch that pass. B.A. has to catch that one. It was a 6 from a 0 to 10-foot catch difficulty.
I love that we have, like, difficulty ratings.
It was a 6. It was only a 6. I need to catch that pass. Don't go on YouTube. Don't make excuses for him, Greg Cosell. Let's go, B.A.
Only a 6 from the guy that's sitting on his couch texting in. I could do that in my sleep. Please.
You know what, though? This. It is interesting that I've noticed Bosa, Ayuk, Jordan Poole. There is a common denominator here. When you get the money, the algorithm changes. The algorithm changes for the fans.
Hey, Jordan Poole averaged 20 a game that season. Iguodala's like, you know how hard it is to average 20 in the NBA? And we acted like he averaged 10 points a game and turned the ball over 8 times a game.
I mean, did you not Jordan see this Poole, fan base turn on him?
No, we went from having pool parties, wearing sunscreen. I was wearing sunscreen on television, wearing floaties. You were yelling at me, he needs to start. Jordan Poole. Like, we were having pool parties. Couldn't get enough of Jordan Poole. Boy.
It's weird, though, right?
It is very. I don't get it. You tell me. Listen, you're more of a fan than I am, right? I got the journalism hat on sometimes. But, like, it is weird that we will flip on a player in a... Because it happened with Deebo Samuel.
It happened to Jimmy?
It happened to... Oh, my God. It happened to Jimmy. Like, Jimmy... We don't ever bring up the good times with Jimmy.
No.
Ever.
No.
Ever. No. Like, you brought up the Seattle game where he goes, hey, how many times a night he heard me yell at Shasky, he was 18-22, 285 in Seattle.
He's incredible.
He was the best quarterback the Niners have had. Go to Seattle and win a game. Since Alex Smith did on that Thursday night in the rain.
But I think where the Ayuk thing falls down, and this is where the Peyton Manning... Do we have the Peyton Manning?
Yes, we have it right
you
here.
You play the sound, because I want to react to the sound, because there's a specific thing that I heard from him that I agree with.
Man to man, Jennings.
Ayuk, he's a little rusty, Pate. You know, he's just all training camp.
Get signed, get in training camp. There's a reason for training camp. You need it. We need the reps.
Oh.
Get those contracts done earlier so we can get in training camp. We don't drop balls on opening night.
Right, it's probably one thing catching passes, running routes. All of a sudden you're laying out for a pass, full speed, diving. That's, you know, that's why, those happen in camp. You make those, you practice those. That's just a little rusty right there.
You're still catching balls at a high school field from some quarterback that's 45 years old my age. You're not catching balls from your quarterback. Get signed, get in camp, and we don't drop the ball.
So that part is 100% on.
Yep. No, I was just going to read this one. Go ahead. I'll read this after he
said. Like, it's one thing for Joe Shasky to hit you a bunch of fungos, you know, at Westmore on a Tuesday. It's another thing to have, like, I don't know, Juan Soto hitting a smoked line drive at you and be ready to play infield in the bigs, right? They're very different. And I have been saying this. Everyone's like, camp doesn't matter. Practice doesn't matter. What are you talking about? Well, I talk to athletes all the time, whether it's professional athletes or high school or youth level or whatever. You know what separates Steph Curry from all the others?
Practice.
What do all the great players in the league say about Steph Curry's practice habits? This man plays so hard in practice, no wonder he's so good in games.
Right.
Jerry Rice, what separated him?
Practice. Off-season workouts.
The work ethic, okay? You know, whether it's Brandon Crawford and his pregame routine or Buster Posey or whoever, all of the great players in this region, practice is what sets them apart. Now, is there an element of you got to get yours and get the money and get paid? Absolutely. But everybody dismissing training camp and reps and practice, I think we have enough data right now, whether it's Klay Thompson missing out on the offseason because of mentals, whether it's Nick Bosa holding out, whether it's Brandon Ayuk, whether it's Blake Snell recently with the San Francisco Giants. Practice and getting yourself geared up for the regular season is way more crucial than we ever thought.
No, it is important. Well, I think it's more important, too. There's levels to the importance, right? A quarterback can't hold on. A quarterback needs to be in camp. No doubt about it. Wide receiver, you would think, would be high up on that list because of the rapport they have to build with the quarterback. And, you know, Ayuk last offseason didn't get a chance to work out with Brock Purdy because Brock Purdy was rehabbed with the elbow injury. Now, Brock Purdy did participate in training camp. They were able to build some rapport there in training camp. You have to do it as a wide receiver. And look, there's no doubt that missing all that time is going to hurt Ayuk early in his season. It is. There's no doubt. I'm just happy they didn't trade the guy. I'm just happy they didn't trade the freaking guy.
I mean, especially given what's going on with CMC, but you asked a question.
CMC and Ricky Pearsall, for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, Ricky Pearsall. But the CMC thing's an interesting one, and I said to you when it quietly was announced, like, oh, we extended CMC. And I was like, dude, that goes a long way with fans, right?
Yep.
The holdout stuff, there's a line of demarcation, and when you're not around and we're bleeding into the preseason and it's scary that you might not be there for a regular season. Like, that's when fans start to worry, and they did this to Nick Bosa, and they're doing it to Ayuk, they did it to Blake Snell, and I'm saying to myself, like, the way CMC handled it, I think the fact we're not criticizing the deal currently, and we'll see as time goes on, but right now, initially, because he was supposed to be available for all the off-season stuff, I do think that's baked into it.
But with CMC, it's going to be very intriguing. You know how this works. If he doesn't play much this season, and who knows what's going to happen with him and Achilles tendonitis. It feels good one day. It doesn't feel good the next day.
Yeah, I don't know what
it
to make
it. It can flare up. It feels like a ticking time bomb. We've got enough evidence and data to know that when you hear Achilles tendonitis, it's just a matter of time. And I don't wish that on McCaffrey. I hope he goes through this, and I hope he doesn't tear an Achilles or tear a calf muscle or whatnot. But this is a very, very serious injury. Very scary injury when you think about the exploding, the stopping and starting, the pivoting, the cutting, everything that he does on the football field, running routes, running through the A-gap, B-gap, C-gap, whatever it is, threat zone. This is a problem. And so at some point, and you know what's going to happen, whether it's fair or not, did you really have to give CMC the extension? Did you really have to give him the extra 2 years of $38 million when he's a running back and he's 28 years old coming off of that usage? There's a fan thinking it right now.
Oh, no, there's a lot of fans thinking it right now.
And they're going to just bite. They're going to bite their tongue. They're not going to say anything. And if the Niners continue to win games, that type of noise goes away. But if the Niners do scuffle and they fall flat on their face, Shasky, at some point this season, and go on an extended losing streak, which I don't anticipate, or if they lose in the playoffs and CMC doesn't contribute much, there's going to be a lot of fans saying, you gave CMC money when you didn't have to.
Well, and I'll take it a step further. During the game, we saw Trent Williams walking into the locker room.
Getting IV.
And I texted you, like, what's going on? What's up with it? And the amount of people like, oh, of course Trent's hurt. Of course Trent's hurt. Like, people were waiting for it.
Yes.
Because they're frustrated. They want the full squad there, you know? And, you know, CMC thing is fascinating. I think more people currently are mad about fantasy football than the actual Niners because Jordan Mason went in there, he balled out, they won kind of going away. Wait till the team starts to need him a little more. I think the fantasy element, because there's a whole fantasy element that's baked into this.
Doubt.
A lot of Niner fans take him. Like, why
number
wouldn't
one
he?
Overall.
Freaking awesome, yeah. And you're like, wait a minute, you found out an hour before on Monday Night Football and the only available running backs are some guy named Patrick I've never heard of and Kyle Juszczyk? Are you kidding me? Right, like that. So I get that aspect, but like, let's say it's week 7 and the Niners are, you know, 3-4, 4-3, and it's not looking good, and the offense is sputtering out, we're kicking way more field goals and touchdowns, then I do think this is going to come up. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is, if he doesn't play much, again, there's going to be fans who say this is why Parag Marate waits until August to do deals. This is why the 49ers wait for a while to do deals. And then, you know, for your IUQ, you're feeling it's like, man, you gave him money before anybody. No matter. And maybe Christian McCaffrey's people behind the scenes are telling the Niners, hey, look, we want to get re-upped here. We don't want to go to training camp and be a distraction. And how are you going to say no to CMC? He goes to every practice. He works hard. He's not missed a game for the 49ers since he's been traded here. Like, that was his first game he's ever missed for the Niners.
Well, I'll say, it's hard for me to critique giving them the money when they did. He's been unbelievable.
He has been unbelievable, but that was also the frustrating part about Ayuk, where he's grown every single year. Every single year. I was talking to Big Dino yesterday. He goes, Bonte, we couldn't trade Ayuk. He's our number one. He's our number one wide receiver. Third downs. That guy found it fascinating last year. Every catch Ayuk made on third down last season went for a first down. Like, that's what he does. He moves the sticks. And so, yes, training camp, we all want him in training camp. At the end of the day, I'm just happy he's still in the building because he could have been in Pittsburgh right now.
There's no doubt about it.
He could have been in Pittsburgh. So, look, CMC, it's a point in time where if he doesn't play much, there will be some fans saying, this is why you don't pay running backs. And how does this, like, we all agree the offensive line is much better this year. It feels like it's much better.
Adding Dominic Pooney feels like a complete game changer to the offense. How many people brought up a right guard to you last night at the event?
They love Pooney.
I couldn't believe it.
Love Pooney. Not only that.
I know the boss is probably in the back room like, no one cares about a right guard. Shockingly, Niner fans do.
Yeah, football fans do. So you got the offensive line that is much, much better.
Yes.
I feel like the skill position group, the wide receiver room, is much better.
I think Purdy is healthier and better.
So, I do believe they'll be able to navigate without Christian McCaffrey. And there's going to be some fans, a segment of fans who say, this is why you don't pay running backs. Because if you got a good offensive line in play, you got a good wide receiver. Now, I don't subscribe to that, obviously. CMC is an all-world player. I want me a bell cow. I love having running backs like Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley. I want a home run hitter.
Yeah, you don't pay any running back. You pay the best ones.
The premium running back. Yes, exactly.
There's a difference.
But this injury, as you see the Niners score 32 points, and I know some people's like, I didn't love the 6 field goals. It's week one. Jets have a good defense. You didn't play any scrimmages. You played limited preseason snaps. You scored 32 points and left a lot of food on the table. Man, maybe that's where Christian McCaffrey comes in, too, because he has a nose for the end zone. But with this offensive line and the good wide receivers that you have in this room and the quarterback that you have, who I think is playing at an unbelievable level, he's a top-5 quarterback right now, Sasky. Let's just face it. Brock Purdy is a top-5 quarterback right now. I don't care what your rankings say. He's one of the 5 best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. They can get away without having Christian McCaffrey. And the run game last week didn't skip a beat. It didn't skip a beat. And so there's going to be fans when it comes back to Christian, if he doesn't play much, saying, do we jump the gun on a contract extension? And I'm not saying that, but that's how fans, no, to your point, that's how fans are going to think.
Here. I think the big unknown right now is what's Jordan Mason going to look like if he gets 20 carries this week? And then 20 carries next week, and then 20 carries the week after that. You just don't know how you're going to respond, you know? And you and I saw, for example, Zeke Elliott, who looked washed the last couple of years, and he has a whole offseason, and he looked fresh.
Yep.
Well, what's Zeke going to look like this week, right? A lot of people are going to say that same thing about even a younger Jordan Mason. Yep. It's like, you just had 28 carries for the first time in your NFL career.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to look like with 5 days rest?
Yep. Yep. It's a good point.
And not only are you the Monday night game, you were a Monday night game, you're the Sunday morning game.
Yep.
Like, it's the least amount of rest you could get.
That's a sneaky long flight, too. Sneaky long flight to Minnesota, 4.5, 5 hours? It's up there. It is up there. Remember, we flew in that red eye in Philadelphia. Minnesota, and it gets cold up there.
If he ran for, 80 yards this week, I'd be like, wow, all right, now we got some. He doesn't even need to break 100 for me.
Well, I didn't run the ball last year against Minnesota at all. They struggled against Minnesota running the football. They put it on Brock Purdy. And, you know, that's one thing we didn't ask Matthew Collar, but Baldy kind of broke it down. Brian Flores is the defensive coordinator of Minnesota. We all know him from not getting along with Tua and everything that happened in Miami. But the guy can coach some damn defense. And I think he's going to put it on Brock Purdy without CMC to force Brock to beat him. And that's why this excites me, folks, Sunday. No Christian McCaffrey. You're on the road. Viking fans are going to be doing their skull clap, the little skull clap that they do. The horn's going to be blowing. And Brian Flores is going to put it on Brock Purdy to make things happen.
Let's say he has almost the same exact game. All right. And I'll give him one touchdown pass because let's say Ayuk catches that ball. All right.
And he's 20 for 30 for two.
For 210 yards and one touchdown. You taking that?
I take it with Brock Purdy. Now, that might not be good enough this week. This week, he may need to throw for 300.
Why do you say that?
I think Minnesota's going to do everything they can to sell out. Kevin O'Connell, he discussed the Niners' physical style of play.
Both sides of the ball, special teams, and whether they're running it, throwing it, whether they're blitzing or rushing four, playing coverage. I mean, they just play so hard. This is a team I think of when you talk about play style, not necessarily being about X's and O's. No matter what side of the ball you're defending or playing offense against, they don't particularly care too much if you know what's coming. And I think that's what's a really powerful thing about the way Kyle runs their program there is in a lot of ways you know what's coming and can you stop it.
So that's Kevin O'Connell, the Vikings head coach. He's been there for a few years, pardon me, and he discussed their physicality. And their physicality played last year on Monday Night Football, and the Vikings were very physical with the 49ers. At the line of scrimmage, they controlled the line of scrimmage. So when I look at this defense, and Harrison Phillips in the middle here, and you got Jonathan Greenard on the outside playing left outside linebacker, they got a lot of no-name guys, a lot of guys that casual fans would not know about.
Yeah, it's not the purple people eaters.
No, it's not. Not even close. But Harrison Smith is still there, strong safety.
He's been there forever.
Forever. And he still makes plays.
Yeah.
And he's a problem. Stephon Gilmore at corner. He's a savvy veteran. He's going to be around. He's got a knack for the football, right? Byron Murphy Jr., another corner who's not bad, wearing number 7. I believe the defensive coordinator, Brian Flores, is going to put this game on Brock Purdy.
We had a lot of Debo last week, like a lot of Debo. You could tell Debo was a focal point of the offense. I know Jordan Mason maybe stole the headlines, but didn't you get the same sense that like, oh, Debo was heavily involved in the playbook?
Yeah, he kind of opened things up. Just even though he wasn't breaking the long ones, the attention to detail of like, hey, we got to focus on Debo, their feet and the ball. Now the defense is red alert. Where's number one at? So yeah, I'm with you.
Debo didn't play against them last year. I don't know if he's also going to be a focal point again this week, but you have to find a way, in my estimation, to get Ayuk and Kittle a little more involved this particular week. Whether that means using Debo as a decoy or using him just less, I think you have to get Kittle going here. They go too many long drives, long stretches, where I just don't see him get a specific target. Right. And I'm nitpicking, I freely admit it, but I think you have to use more George Kittle and more Brandon Ayuk as he starts to ramp up his condition.
That's a good point. 888-957-9570. Brock Purdy has a game like last week. Are we good with it? I think a lot of people, Shaska, would say, yeah, we're good with it, as long as it comes with a W.
Yes.
I do feel like this weekend they'll need a little more from him. Oh, no. Something tells me Brian Flores is going to be blitzing his ass off. Now, Purdy's really good against the blitz. Really good. One of the best quarterbacks against the blitz.
I think this offensive line is really underrated.
So I'm interested to see.
They're a really good unit. Now, the Banks injury is interesting. He's got a calf injury. How is he going to be able to load manage this? Burford went in there. I didn't see a huge drop-off, but the Niners were kind of in control. So I don't think it's a great indication of whether he played well or not. He had a monster pancake in the middle of the field on 11 for the Jets. I don't know Jermaine what to make Johnson. Of the Jets, man.
Jermaine Johnson. Yeah, it's week one. You can't overreact to week one. By the way, River Islands guest line coming up. Dave Fleming will be on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, in Lathrop? Dave Fleming, 8 o'clock. That's happening in 11 minutes.
Clean it up, Auntie.
Real quick, we're talking about practice and whether or not you need a rapport. Listen to Michael Irvin. This is after week one when Miami beat Florida. Listen to Michael Irvin, the playmaker, on Cam Ward. This is a lot of fun, the playmaker. And this goes to your point about practicing and building that rapport.
I'm a believer in practice.
Here's Michael Irvin.
I can give you a quick story about it. One time I heard
One of the receivers from the U was throwing in Fort Lauderdale, running routes with Lamar Jackson. Cam Ward and the guys were going on the field to throw in Miami. And Cam called the receiver. He said, man, where are you? We're going out to throw. He said, oh, I'm up here working out with Lamar Jackson. Two-time NFL MVP, Lamar Jackson. You know, go get him some Instagram shots working out with Lamar Jackson. Go post it. Everybody going to be talking about it. Cam said to him, dog, you ain't going to be catching no passes in Baltimore from Lamar Jackson this year. And if you don't get your ass back to Miami and get on the field with us, you ain't going to be catching no pass in Miami either. And hung the phone up. That's what we need. That's what we need. Somebody that makes the work work. Somebody that knows how to pour it. Get your butts up here. Let's get this work in. We got to make the practice field the hardest thing that we do. If we make this hard, the games will be easy. That's how you put up 41 points today against Florida. That's how you open up a season. We got us a quarterback.
Michael Irvin.
I love that from Cam Ward. Because I saw another video from Cam Ward. Cam Ward is the quarterback for the University of Miami. He transferred from Washington State. Him and Shadur, Deion's son, were working out. And he was telling him, like, you're not working hard enough. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. Yep. There was this entire video of him saying that basically Shadur was, like, cutting corners at practice. I don't know if Cam's going to be some great player in the NFL.
Right.
I just love his mindset.
Yep.
I love the way that he goes about things. And I'm a big believer in, and it doesn't always work, because I thought James Wiseman had a similar mindset, and it didn't, you know. And it seems like Trey Lance has a very good mindset. He's not a very good player, you know. And so talent obviously overrides things.
Michael
but I'm
Irvin.
A big believer in buying into the personality of people, right? And if they're winners or losers, like, in life. And when you're a winner at what you do, you conduct yourself a certain way. And
everybody believes that practice is important. Everybody believes practice is important, but at the same time, we got to understand these guys got to get their money.
No, I get that.
That was contract related. I don't think Brandon Ayuk.
Forget the money part.
My practice is in the game of football. Practice is imperative. You have to have it. You have to build the great teams. Rich Gannon, the Raiders, Joe Montana, the Niners, Brett Favre, no matter what it is. They don't want the football to hit the turf.
Mm-mm.
They want it to be perfect. If the football hits the turf, they're irate about an incompletion. Practice is very essential to having a good football team. There's no doubt about it. I don't think anybody's denying that.
What the great players all say the same thing. Master the mundane, meaning the boring, stupid drills that everybody else cakewalks through. You either are developing good or bad habits. And so when you're not even doing anything, or you're not, like, let's say you're going to a high school field and you're playing with somebody else as your whole, you're not getting ready for the year. It's not their fault. I get the business aspect. Right. Believe me, I do. But I understand Peyton Manning, as we circle it back to Peyton Manning, like, we got to get these things done. No, and that goes also, it's not on the player. It's also on the organization.
Front office. Yeah, get this guy in. Let's make this happen, because I'm losing valuable time.
Yes.
I'm losing valuable practice time. I'm losing valuable reps with my guy. Now, Brock Purdy and Ayuk seem to be picking it up pretty quickly here, and I expect a bigger game from Ayuk as Purdy looks for the number 11 down the field here. They'll be fine. Brandon Ayuk will be fine, but I don't think anybody's denying the fact that in football, especially in the sport of football, I think practice is very more important, more so than a four wide receiver, especially for a wide receiver, than a defensive lineman. But obviously, it affected Bosa. So, got to get the business part done and get these guys on the field. But practice is important. Tom Brady was a maniacal. He took every single rep in practice. Took every single rep.
I watched the golf match with Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and I think it was Brooks Koepka and DeChambeau.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, like, they were geeking out about how they work on certain throws in practice. It was crazy. Yeah. But, like, you're talking two of the greats of all time.
Yeah, you're working on all that stuff.
Obsessed.
Real quick, before we get to the injury report, Armando in Hayward. Armando, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, morning, guys. How you guys doing? Roasters, what's up? So, in terms of Purdy playing without CMC, he will definitely be locked in. He can do it. I mean, for those faithful that still are on the sideline about Purdy, we got to think Nick Mullins, CJ Beathard, Jimmy G, the Trey Lance experience. None of that gave us the results that Purdy did. He went to the NFC Championship as a rookie, got injured, went to the Super Bowl last year. He's a winner. In terms of Ayuk's catch, yes, he fumbled, he messed up, he should have caught it, but we got to think back in the playoffs against the Lions last year. He did that dive and he caught it to extend the drive. That's all I'm going to say. Love you guys. Peace.
All right, good stuff, Armando. Good call there. Good call there. There was somebody else. Somebody else who said, oh, 510, extended mobile text line. The dive catch Ayuk made against the Eagles was way more difficult last year in the regular season. He barely had to extend his arms on Monday. 510.
I mean, come on.
I love it.
Look, if we're having the same conversation 3 and 4 weeks from now,
we have a problem.
Now I'm in. Just right now, I'm not ready to go that deep on one play.
Well, Brian and Ayuk is scared to watch the film.
I think after the game, I didn't watch the film until this morning. I was a little bit scared to watch it, but not as bad as I thought.
And you were scared to watch it?
I was scared to watch it.
What, did it just not feel right at
That's like me when the boss sent me Friday's first segment, and he was like, I want you to listen to this. You ran Bonte off, and you just kept interrupting him, and I was scared to listen to it. Then I listened, and then I said, oh my God, I have a problem. I'm an interruptaholic.
Let's just go to the injury report.
I have a big mouth sometimes.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Oh, man. Jordan Addison killed the Niners last year. 7 catches, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns. He left week one early against the New York Giants with an ankle injury. Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Vikings, said earlier this week that Addison is dealing with some pretty significant soreness in his ankle. It is questionable for the game Sunday against the 49ers. Here, real quick, a quick cut on Jordan Addison from Kevin O'Connell.
Really, the only injury, you know, as of right now, he's going to stay in and get some treatment, taking it a day at a time with Jordan Addison. But everybody else should participate in some fashion today, and we'll put out our injury report later on today.
All right, there it is. Jordan Addison, the young man from Pitt by way of USC, of course, or Pitt and in USC, a Minnesota Viking, may not play. That'll be a big boost for the 49ers secondary to not have to deal with him and Justin Jefferson. That's already a handful there. The injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Let's talk to our main man, Flem. Dave Fleming. We'll talk a few minutes about the Giants and with the college football and his thoughts on the NFL. That's coming up here on The Rust.
I just want you guys to talk about me the way you talk about Mike Florio.